Welcome you to tonight's September 9th, 2019 regular Othello City Council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the council as we need wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, please be seated. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and tonight Angel Garza has asked to be excused. He had some things come up, so I would entertain a motion to excuse Angel Garza.
I'll make that motion. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. With that, we'll move to item 1.5 is citizen input. Are there any citizens here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? If so, please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. We do have a citizen here that wants to address us. And Daniel's raising his hand. That's why I'm asking. He wants to? Okay. Can someone assist him with a chair? So tonight we're honored
Thank
to have
you.
Daniel Pinkerton here. So state your name and address for the record, Daniel, if you would.
Daniel Pinkerton, and thank you for the bike ramps.
You're welcome, Daniel. Is there any other citizen who would like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none, we'll move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'd like the motion to approve the agenda for this evening.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We'll move to the approval of our consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve these consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We'll move to item 4.1, which is the approval of the grant agreement between the City of Othello and the Secretary of State. And we have with us our City Clerk, Tanya Morelos, to talk about that grant.
Good evening, Council. On March 29th, staff applied for a local records grant to organize the filing room. And on June 27th, the city was awarded with a grant in the amount of $6,900. This grant's going to allow staff to, or the city, to hire temporary staff to help the clerk organize the filing room and just take inventory of what we have. And also it's going to pay for destruction and shredding services and just all supplies needed to complete the project. We have the agreement here between the city and the Secretary of State that states that staff will document all expenditures and submit reimbursement requests by May 29th of 2020 once the project is completed. And staff recommends that council approve the agreement. Do you guys have any questions?
Council? Excellent. Thank you, Tanya, for your effort to get us that grant and to update our records. So I'd entertain a motion tonight.
I'll make the motion to approve the grant agreement between the State of Washington, Office of the Secretary of State, Archives and Records Management Division in the City of Othello.
Okay. We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Item 4.2 is the District Court Services Agreement between the City of Othello and Adams County. And I recognize Commissioner Roger Hartwig is present. Commissioner Hartwig, did you want to address the council at all tonight, or do you just want to hear what we're going to discuss with regard to the agreement?
I guess I'd like to hear what your discussion is. And afterwards, I have a few numbers that I would like to present.
Thank you. So the city of Othello has a contract with Adams County for municipal court services for the Othello District Court. The county operates two courts, one at the other end of the county in Ritzville and the one in the Othello District Court. The county in that agreement provides prosecution, indigent defense, adjudication, adult probation, and collections of fines and forfeitures. And in these negotiations, the city offered the county an additional $20,000 over the $92,000 that the city currently pays for these services. The county keeps all the collected fines and forfeitures. And the county in that meeting last week countered with an additional $92,000 over the $92,000 the city currently pays, along with a 4% annual increase for a three-year contract. The city, because the mayor doesn't have the authority to approve a contract of that sort, that has to be approved, that authority rests with the council, and I said that we would present it to the city council. As I've looked over the numbers, myself, Spencer, and Chief Shank, we believe that we need additional information in order to make a good decision. We were wanting to look at the district court budget in detail to understand not only the expenditure side, but also all of the revenue side. And what we're trying to do, ultimately, is to develop a formula so that future councils, future county commissioners can go to this agreement that we have with this formula in order to make this process of negotiation a lot easier. And so when we obtained that information, our plan was to present that to the city council, a breakdown of what their revenues were for that court, what their expenditures were for that court, and whatever the fair share or proportional share that the city should be paying to the county for those services. We will recommend that that should become apparent to the council as we go through that process. So the staff recommendation is that we reject the county's offer and that we just spend a little bit more time going over the numbers so that we can better ascertain what those figures are. So with that, I would recommend that we hear what County Commissioner Roger Hartwig has, because he says he has some numbers, and then the council can further deliberate and potentially make a decision or direct staff further. So with that, I'll call forward County Commissioner Roger Hartwig.
I think most of you know me, Roger Hartwig, Adams County Commissioner. I went back to the budget today and I got numbers for you. The Othello District Court 2019 budget was $363,092.29. District Court Judge, which we had to raise to 80%, salary now is $131,450.40. Our Public Defender contract goes up $15,000 per year. Right now it's $485,000. We have one more year of negotiations, which will make it $500,000. And our agreement recently with the city was that we would hire a probation officer. We all sat in a room and agreed that this was something that would be beneficial for the city and the county. It would be a pilot program with the county putting up the first $50,000 and the city adding in a $50,000 additional. The budget for that is around $100,000. We're both getting a benefit from it. So now there's nothing said about the probation, the $50,000, actually that the city actually volunteered to put forward. So I just feel that we need to work something out. We've been at this for 2.5 years. And we're right back to a starting point. I don't know what the city council was told about numbers. I presented numbers a year ago for 1 year of court costs and what we got in refunds. Right now, just basically, this is an estimate. That court could bring in $248,250, which 50% of it goes back to the state. You're not covering a third of the cost right now. That's basically where I'm at. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hartley.
Roger.
Ms. Hartley. What were those numbers again that you said is costing the county? The 360,000?
Our budget, I went to the book today, our budget for 2019 for the district court, $363,092.29.
That's your budget?
That's what our budget is.
Okay.
We had $100,000 basically for probation, and she's coming back in because it was a pilot program. We're hoping to get by with 100. But our agreement, or when we talk to the city about going into a combination program, we each was willing to put in $50,000. Our public defender contract, $485,000, with renewal of $15,000 a year. Next year, it will be $500,000. That's public defenders. Our district court judge, because we had to raise her salary and because of the caseload, is now $131,450. I want to clarify that is included into that budget. I don't want you to think that that's an additional cost. That is in the budget, but I want to know, want you to know what the judge's salary was.
So the public defender and the probation are not in your $360,000?
No, that is separate.
That's separate from your budget. So basically you've got $231,000 for a judge and a probation officer against your $363,000 budget?
With the probation officer, we're looking at $463,000 rounded off.
Yeah, he's saying that the probation officer is a separate budget, but that's also what they're assigning to the Othello District Court.
Okay.
So that would be added in addition to their $363,092.
We figured that the probation officer is basically 50-50. It's 50% city, 50% county.
Okay, but the $485,000 for the public defenders is totally separate, so that's not even in the equation. What I'm trying to do is get to a point of where, what are the costs against the budget of 363? You set a budget of 363.
That is what our district court costs are, just to maintain.
That's the court staff. That's the court staff. That's the operation of the office across the street here. That doesn't, and includes the judge, but the indigent defense, it says here, and the
probation.
Adult probation are separate line items.
That's correct. Thank you, Sean. Yeah.
Is the $50,000 for the probation officer already included in here?
Not in the 364. It's a separate figure. The city and the county had talked about that, and I think Mark, I think you were at the last meeting that we had that discussion, and I know the city council, but the city council voted not to move forward with that. But there's some questions that I have. That $500,000 for your indigent defense, that's not all Othello District Court. That includes your Superior Court, that includes Ritzville Court, and so that's what really I'm trying to get to the bottom of, is what are we responsible for? Do you see what I mean? So what is the city of Othello, if we're gonna enter into a contract or we're gonna amend this contract over the existing one, then I think the council needs to know what of this $500,000 for indigent defense is attributable or is part of the Othello District Court. We know that it costs a lot of money to have indigent defense, but when the majority of indigent defense goes towards Superior Court, we shouldn't be responsible for that. In addition to that, which is why I want to go back over the numbers, Roger, is that the county also gets state reimbursement. The county gets money for criminal justice funds, the county gets money for indigent defense, and the county gets money for these fines and forfeitures. And so we've looked at the numbers on the actual numbers on the fines and forfeitures, and in the last, since 2012, there's only been 2 years that they've been under $200 or $300,000, and there's been some years it's been over $364,000.
On our fines recovery?
Yes.
No.
That's the actual amount the county has received. That's your portion.
But 50% of that goes to the state. And this year our budget revenue is only $248,000, and last year we only collected $120,000, our share.
Counties or cities?
That's the portion.
Okay, well, see, again, as we go through those numbers, we want to make sure that those numbers are correct. We want to make sure that, you know, and those are things that the county treasurer, the county auditor can help us move to the final resolution of that. And then I think we'll come to an agreement. I don't think it's going to take long for us to go down through the budget and say, these are revenues, these are the expenditures, this is the total amount that isn't being covered, and this is Othello's proportional share. This is how much Othello should pay.
I don't want to get into a dispute this evening, but from the letter that you have written, you're denying the $92,000 that you've been paying us. So as of now, you're saying to vote on 0%, and a county is supposed to support the city through the whole court system. That's
not what it says. If you go to my agenda memo, it says the county countered with an additional 92 over the 92 the city pays. We still intend to pay the current 92 that we're paying. You countered in that meeting with an additional 92. And so that's what I'm saying. No, I don't think the council should approve that additional 92. Let's go back and over. I think we can have this resolved by the end of October. So in time for our budget for next year.
I'd like to answer part of the request.
Yes.
Part of that request is $50,000 that we really had talked about on a probation officer.
Right. So when we go down through the numbers, I want you to understand that the city wants to be fair. And so the city is going to include, besides the district court budget, we're going to include the probation officer and our share of the probation officer, our share of the indigent defense. But at the same time, also promised with that was a revenue figure that probation officer was going to generate. As you recall, this probation officer was going to generate revenue. And we don't know what all these revenues are that the county receives to run the court. And so that's where, as we go through that, we can set a formula so that sometime down the road, when you and I aren't here anymore, somebody behind us can say, oh, here's the formula. This is what the actual numbers for the county are. This is then what Othello would pay. And it becomes a real easy negotiation. That's all I'm trying to get to.
At this time, I couldn't give you a number because I asked Judge Benzel to get me a number, and she could not. We just haven't been into this program long enough to know exactly what our revenues are going to be. Yes, when we had our meeting, we were hoping the probation officer would actually pay for itself in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very successful program. You can ask Judge Benzel. She's very satisfied
her.
With it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Phil is too.
Well, I don't think there's any quibbling with the council, but we will fully intend to pay our fair share. And so with regard to that, but though, I mean, part of this also I want to know is that probation officer, is he only working the Othello District Court, or does he also do adjudication and things in Ritzville? And if he is, then we shouldn't be held accountable for his entire, or for half of his salary, if part of his attention is spent somewhere else.
And it's strictly right now the Othello Court, yeah, which is 50% yours and 50% ours. I have one more thing. When you put your numbers together, if you decide to have your own court system, it's going to cost you over $400,000.
So is 50% of the offenders that the probation officer is dealing with, are they City of Othello offenses, or is it?
It's 50%. The judge thinks it's 50% the city, 50% the county. The caseload right now.
And if that program's supposed to pay for itself,
but it has no revenue at this time. It's just been put together for...
Okay, will you remind the council when you guys... Didn't you just hire the probation officer just this year?
Yes, we did.
And it was partway through this year. It wasn't at the beginning of the year. Is that correct?
We budgeted.
I know you budgeted, but I mean, you didn't actually hire them until...
When we hired him, we had...
Like in March? Or did you hire him before March?
Around March.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So we haven't had enough time, is the point.
No, I cannot give you an answer on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, Council, let's move to item... Oh, wait a minute. So we need a motion. So, and I need direction for staff.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to reject the county's offer for the additional 92, if that's indeed what the request was. And I would like further investigation of what the costs are so that we can set up a contract that would live with this.
An equitable arrangement.
And live beyond whoever's elected.
Yeah, I agree.
I second.
So. Okay, is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I think what I would like to do at the next meeting that I have with the Board of Commissioners or with the committee is I want the City Council representative to be present, which I believe is Mark. Aren't you on the Law and Justice Committee? Aren't you our representative? I think I want my council member there so then you can be present for those discussions and also report back to the council as we go through this process. But I think, Roger, I don't think we need to take 2.5 years anymore. I think we can probably resolve this by the end of October. So
that's why we would like to reach an agreement.
Yes.
And we'd like to have a 2 to 3 year contract, and I know we asked 4%. But the cost is going up over 4%. But we need to get something that we don't have to go back and negotiate every year.
Right. Right, and to have a formula too would be really nice as well.
We're working out.
Yep, thank you. But now let's move to item 4.3, which is our Joint Planning Commission study session on zoning updates. And if I could take a short 10-minute recess so we can set up the tables and chairs. I will recess at 6:54 p.m. and we'll reconvene at 2:04 p.m. Excuse me, 7:04 p.m. Okay, we're gonna reconvene. We got our tables and chairs set up, and so we're gonna reconvene this meeting at 7 p.m., not 2 in the morning. And I think I want to start with the Community Development Director, Ann Henning, and then we'll move on to the Planning Commission, and I assume, Chris, you're going to continue on as you did before?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's start with Ann.
Okay, so at study session we had in July, that Council brought up a number of issues that they asked the Planning Commission to look at some more, and so the Commission did that in 2 meetings in August, and so I compiled a chart of the issues that we talked about, and then with that there were then pages of the changes that were made. So these changes would be supplement to the book that we started with. So I guess with that as kind of an organizational overview, I'll let Chris talk about what the issues.
So I will review those issues that you all brought up with us in the meeting and outside of the meeting as well. And then we'll continue on with whatever, I can't remember, I believe. Oh.
Public meeting, forgotten. Thank you. And I believe we ended at the end of the map at the last one, so pretty much all we have to review is the issues you brought up and then any further discussion that you all may have about this process and where we're going with it. The first issue we wanted to talk about was alley setbacks for residential. That was one of the first issues brought up, and this was discussed at our most recent meeting for the Planning Commission. It was noted that a building right at the rear property line impacts the use of the alley, including vehicles such as garbage trucks and utility bucket trucks working in the alley. There was further discussion that the impacts occur when alley's functional widths are below 20 feet. So, our proposed solution to that is to state the setback in the alleys will be 10 feet from the center line of the alley. This will make a consistent 20-foot alley as part of city code and will give utility vehicles as well as traffic, which may come through the alleys, more than adequate room to get through and a consistent alley that can be measured from that. So the minimum clearance space will end up being 20 feet. And that's what we came up with to address that issue. Does anyone on the council have any questions about that?
Who's going to make the determination of the center line? Is that going to be, go back to the drawings for the development and measure it and actually do a survey?
That's a great question, John. And we actually did talk about this, is who would make that. So just as one plan, I mean, everything that is in Othello is right now. That's going to be a little bit harder thing to address. But as we have more developments, as we have folks coming in with new uses for properties and that, they have to present those plans to Ann. And that has to be part of that plan. That's going to be in there. For where that's determined, that's going to be determined. I mean, it's pretty simple, 10 feet from that proper, from that center line for those new developments.
Okay, but we have a lot of existing alleyways today.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody comes to get a building permit to
Correct.
Do a fence, I saw there was some new information coming up with fencing and things like that. So if somebody wants to put a fence back to their back, to the alleyway, then this is going to have to kick in.
Right.
This ordinance is going to have to kick in and say you can only do it up to 10 feet from the center line.
Mm-hmm.
That's your setback requirement. And then he's going to say, well, who's going to determine what the center line of that alley is? Is it going to be the alley as it exists today?
Yes.
Okay, are you just going to...
We're going to go off the plat.
Okay, you're going to go back to the plat drawing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's...
You're going to go back to the plat drawing for... What if the alley isn't in the easement, which was considered the alley? What if that does not lie center line of the plat? What if there's been shifting and moving that has taken place over the years?
The center line is of the dedication, not of the physical. If it's wiggled some horizontally, then the center line is of the actual dedication, which would be 20 feet wide, so it'd be 10 feet from the center line of that.
The shifting of the LAs would just be about to fix itself. But,
yeah, John, what you're talking about is, what about these cases where people have already encroached beyond what they should have in the first place?
Yes.
That's going to have to be rectified. And it goes back to the plat. you know, when somebody comes back with their proposal for new building, Ann's going to be looking at that to make sure that that plan fits that position. And that's the starting point for her is going to be the original plat. And if people have encroached on that 22 years ago or 25 years ago or 10 years ago, they're going to have to move that back.
So say John's house has an alley behind his house, but it's
not an alley. It's a granted easement. It's a vacated piece of property that was supposed to be the alley, and the guy's already encroached on it. He's actually 5 feet over his property line. He's into the center line of the easement.
Right.
His property goes all the way to my fence line, and it shouldn't. Now, he received and he got and received a building permit to build a garage out in the back of his lot. That is right at the easement access.
When did he receive that?
His yard is now 5 feet over.
Right. When did he receive that?
10, 15 years ago.
See, and that's why we thought this was important to add this in now and to make this, you know, as you all may remember, one of the rules, one of the guiding
just
principles.
Just asking how you're going to deal with that, though. Mm-hmm. I want to.
You're not going to get.
I want to come to the city and I want to get a permit, a building permit to rebuild my fence.
Right.
Okay. If I take my fence down, I'm right in his backyard. There's no distance between me, my fence line, and his backyard. His backyard goes all the way to my fence.
Because he's encroached on.
Because he's already entered into the easement. Now, just down to the next house, there's 10 feet between us. More than 10 feet. There's 20 feet between me and my next neighbor.
So wouldn't that be a function of code enforcement?
So what are you wanting, John? I mean, what is your solution? 15 feet instead of 10 feet?
No. It's not distance. It's just we're going to have
to. Code enforcement.
We're going to have to make a determination on who determines it, and then who.
Who determines?
Sure.
Oh, who determines where the center line is?
Yep.
The plat.
Say that goes by the plat drawings.
Okay.
Whatever. Original plat.
Because I've looked at the plat drawings.
Because that's as accurate as you can get.
Okay.
And what you're saying, John, that's kind of the problem. You know, when Corey brought this up, I actually went out with my measuring thing and measured some of these spots to see. And what you find in that is, yeah, what you just said is what's happening. People are encroaching into places that they shouldn't. And we got to do a better job of that. And that's one of the reasons why we've gone through this process, is to make things consistent, to make things easy to follow, to make them simple.
I'm not objecting to the ordinance, guys.
Right.
I'm just wanting to understand.
How are we going to manage
it? How are we going to take care of what has happened?
Well, from this point forward, this is going to be what they're going to be held accountable to. So when the guy built his garage, he shouldn't have been allowed his garage.
So if we create this ordinance, then it becomes an ordinance, and then we have to make sure that everybody's conducted in the right manner.
Absolutely.
So somebody that's done that can be actually asked to move back, right?
I don't think that's going to kick in though until you ask for a new building permit, right?
But if John wants to build a new fence.
But that's what I mean. You have to get a building permit for your fence.
But are you going to move his neighbor back because now the center is in his neighbor's backyard?
I suppose you could if you think your code enforcement's going to push
or,
that.
Something more simple. We have an existing alleyway. If somebody's not 10 feet from the center line of that alleyway, are you going to ask them to move their fence?
Problem.
What if they're only 6 feet from the center line of the alley? They're already in 4 feet of the center.
So if they're already in that area, how do you deal with that now? You know, unfortunately, you probably got to wait until they try to build something.
Or he just drives down and goes around and then comes.
But unfortunately, unless you all want your code enforcement to address this, and make this standard and go through it. That's how you have to do it. If not, you're going to wait until they try to build something, and then you're going to say, whoa, 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 wait a second. You have already built in this area. You're going to have to move this. You're going to have to move this. You're going to have to move this.
So basically, this is the same problem we ran into with the old ADUs that have been built. They were built without permits. They were built, a lot of them were put wherever they wanted. You know, and so he's this exactly the same thing.
But then again, we're talking about code enforcement. You're not asking us to do code enforcement. I mean, we can make recommendations on code enforcement. All we can do is tell you what would be the best codes.
This is my line of discussion here is probably not appropriate for this forum, but
right.
I agree with the 10 feet of center line. I do. We've got to have that for our alleys. So I agree with that. It's just that we're going to have a tremendous amount of issues moving forward if we're going to try to correct the wrongs, you know. But if we do have an ordinance, at least the people, you know, like myself, can utilize that ordinance.
I'll
moving forward, we need to have this
to prevent
because
that.
Otherwise, we're going to continue on. The
yep,
same old
I agree.
We have to put a stop to it and start new.
Okay, I agree.
So I have a question. Can you build a shed? How big of a shed can you build without a building permit?
Currently, none. You need a building permit no matter what size. There's an exemption in the building code for under
200 square feet.
There's a different one for residential versus commercial, so I don't remember which is which. But the federal municipal code actually does not adopt that, specifically doesn't adopt that section. So that means it needs a permit.
So any shed in town that's put in has
right
to have building permit.
Needs a permit.
Even if you go to Home Depot and buy one of those steel sheds and put it on, you still need your building permit.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay. Cool.
The one comment I like the 10 feet from the center, but the only thing I'd like to see in here is something added about any sheds, all buildings, regardless.
I believe if you look, it doesn't really say sheds.
But
don't we have
building regardless of what it is?
Where's that at that we talk about overhangs and all that stuff? I just looked at it.
I know it does say it mentions in there about eaves and all that, but I think that section of this is really good. I like the 10 feet from the center a lot.
Well, it also, like I said, for setbacks, and we're coming up to that we talk about eaves, overhangs. This would also work for your sheds and setbacks where you have to be out of, you know, so I think that covers that, doesn't it?
I'm good, Chris. Go ahead and proceed with
okay. No, I understand where you're coming from on that, but I think it's outside of us.
Yep.
Fences follow the same rule as the alley setbacks. I mean, that's to make it really simple. Minimum apartment sizes was brought up, and there was a lot of discussion because we had a minimum size apartment. In our discussions, we reviewed a lot of different cities, and I will tell you that our minimum was far from smallest apartment allowed in a city in Washington State. It's all over the board. And with that in mind, we decided the best way to address this was to not have a written minimum. And the reason why we did that is we thought it would allow the market to determine minimum size of what people will rent, what people would be willing to go after. And it probably will make bigger apartments than if we had a written minimum. And we are far from the only city that does that way. And keep in mind, this minimum apartment complex size is only in commercial zones. So this is second story up. Do you have any questions or concerns on that? You know, that's what we kind of came down to, especially once you looked at all the cities. I mean, they were all over the place. You know, 100 square foot, 150 square foot. Really minimal size micro apartments were allowed. There was nothing under 350 square feet, you know, or above that, which was kind of surprising, we thought, especially based on our discussion. And after reviewing everything, we thought it was better just to leave it without a minimum.
Okay.
Any other questions on that one? Timing of landscape installation. This was also one that had a lot of discussion. After much discussion, the commission determined to leave this as previously recommended, which was landscaping must be installed within 1 year of certificate of occupancy. Again, consistency with other cities is what made us make this decision. I know there was a lot of concern about dust control, about compliance, and about all those things. Most cities were set up in a way that the residents had 1 year to put in their landscaping. And so we went with what is consistent with the state.
Can I ask, did you see any specified front and back yard?
Not seen any that specified back yard.
Yeah, it's only front. Yeah, it's only front yard.
So here's one of the things we was talking about. So when you buy a house, most of the time the homeowner wants to put in their own landscaping. The contractor or the builder is ready to put in landscaping. The tree's going to be in the wrong spot. The curbing's going to be in the wrong spot. It's all going to have to get torn out and replaced to what the new buyer wants. Yes, do we have a problem with some people not putting it in? That is a fact. But most of those people, if you put landscaping in, they wouldn't take care of it and let it dry up and go back to what it looked like, whether they put it in or not. So you're really not gaining much.
Who's going to enforce it? Can be done through code enforcement. It's just a matter of priorities.
Is this what we have in the
That's
what exists now, because we have areas where there's new buildings and it's been over a year and there's nothing but weeds or dirt and nothing's been done.
Is it possible to put out a temporary certificate of occupancy until the landscaping comes in?
I don't know if the bank would. So when we had a previous secretary, that was one of her issues. She went around and she wrote down all the addresses. She sent them letters, and most of those people. So, for some of them, it just takes a nudge that they need to.
Well, some of them don't own the places either.
I realize when you go driving out through some of those new areas, that a lot of those houses are owned by other people and they're being rented. And people that are living there aren't going to put in a.
Right. Go to that property line.
But nothing's being done. And it's not just one or two, it's quite a few.
Well, if you want to make that an emphasis, then I think we should have a discussion with Phil and make it happen.
Yeah, on all these things, you all are the elected officials. We're just advisory. If you think something is more important for this city, then change it. We got a lot of wind here. We got a lot of dust. If we're worried about impacts on the neighbors, that makes sense. But I will also tell you, overwhelmingly, most of Washington State is doing what we're going to do, what we're suggesting. Yeah. And that was a surprise to me. I actually expected that to be very different. And you're talking 80% of cities do it this way.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you guys.
And in this area, most of them do.
I listened to a lot of your discussion about it, and it's difficult to put it on to the developer, because the developer has to recover those costs, and sometimes that makes the difference in the price, whether people can qualify or not. I hear you. So that's
tough one.
That's good that you kept it the way it was, and it's up to us then to make sure that it's enforced if it bothers us.
Or change it.
But it's still going to be up to the developer to recover his cost. In order to do that, though, the homeowner may not be able to, he may not be a homeowner. He may not be able to get a mortgage.
Right.
Yep.
Over a 30-year loan, I don't think that'd make a difference.
if he can't afford to do it then, how's he going to afford to do it?
A year from now.
Exactly.
Well, that's what's happening a lot of times.
At least if the contractor does it, it can be built into the loan rather than have that one big expense right off the bat.
Over 30 years versus...
So, just a question for you, Sean. Would you like something else to put in your front yard? Because they're not going to put in every little thing you want. They're just going to do a generic deal and run.
That's what you can afford. Yep.
And if they want anything additional, they can go back to their developer and say, will you have to put in trees or whatever? Or they can say, I just want the grass and sprinklers. And where I want to put in the trees, I'll put in my own trees. I'll put in my own shrub. But grass and sprinklers is not an unreasonable request to have them do it. But from our standpoint, sitting up here every day, trying to go after the fact to enforce our code is more difficult than to withhold the certificate of occupancy until the work's done. Once the work's finished, we're done with it, and the developer is done with it. But the developer is also done with it once he sells the property. So he's fine, he's good, but we still have neighbors who are of that piece of property who continue to get dust. And these people let weeds grow up, but at least they got their front yard planted and they got sprinklers on it. And the developer can put that in on a large scale, a lot cheaper than the homeowner who would have to then go back and hire a separate person to come in and do the sprinklers. And then have to go either buy their own sod or try and plant their own grass. And I'm just saying that from our standpoint, enforcement of it, $3,000, $3,500, it's not going to make that big of a difference. Or if people are that tight, how the heck are they going to afford their lawn? You see what I mean? That's just from what I see. I mean, the council still makes the decision. I'm just trying to lean.
This was a pretty contentious debate, I would say, with the Planning Commission. It really comes down to autonomy of the owner of the property being able to put in what they wanted, so it connects with their sprinkler system, so they don't have two separate systems. That was one aspect of that. The other aspect is dust control and impact on neighbors. And that was I'm not going to tell you this was a straightforward debate. It wasn't. And I think any way that the city goes is the right way to go for this community. The commission or the council made the decision that it made based on what is consistent for the area and what is done in most other cities like ours and in the area. I think the only one that was really different than 1 year was Kennewick or Pasco. Pasco had a 3-month time period, which was different. Yeah, but the rest were 1 year, just the way we're suggesting.
You know, one other thing we need to look at too is we keep pushing stuff on code enforcement. You know, it's going to end up where we're going to need a code enforcement the size of our police department.
Yeah.
Well, we just need more than.
Well, we keep dumping stuff on them.
I was just going to say we keep dumping stuff on someone who's already behind.
Yeah, she's already overloaded.
Well, priority.
I think you guys are good both ways on this one.
I don't believe
that. That's anecdotal.
Well, the number of those are going to flow. I don't see it as a huge problem.
If you approve a loan for $150,000, are you going to let them go to $153,000?
I did the math. It's like a $20 difference over a 30-year, even for $5,000 more. I don't think they'd...
Yeah, but if they're only approved for $150,000, are you going to let them go to $153,000?
It's not me, but it, I mean, if they can't afford $20 more a month over a 30-year course, they're not going to afford to drop $6,500 when they've got to pay for it all up front. So I think we just avoid a problem now, and it's...
I'd like to add, I love this debate because it sounds very similar to the debate I already heard in the Planning Commission. I think I will add that we originally, oh man, do I even go there? Okay, I'll go there. Thank you, Roger. We originally had no one-year waiting period. It was a builder, developer who brought it to our attention and swayed us in changing it to that. And brought up a lot of the same debate that you all are doing. For myself, when I looked at this issue, as I look at all issues, it's not just how it impacts me, but how it impacts my neighbors and how it impacts my neighborhood. And we do have a lot of blowing dust. So I get it for us to be treated a little differently, but I also got the concern that the developer brought up and the autonomy of doing your own thing and making it all connect and making it all work. This is a tough one. And you know, we ended up opting to go with what most of the rest of the state does. For which ones?
Landscaping for any new home.
Should be required front yard.
It is. It's required front yard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can do whatever or how long. But front. And then they have a year for fencing on the back.
Yeah, this one was a tough one. So let's put it this way. We would completely understand if you all feel the citizens of Othello need something a little differently.
I just think of where we're going and like the image of what you're either all in and you can't lack in having, you know, everything else look so nice and like the business fronts and then have gaps in between. Consistency, I think, would be my biggest thing.
Yeah, when you're talking about attracting people to come and live here, you want things to look nice. That's something we've always talked about, whether it's the businesses or the residents or whatever. But
Sean, how, when it looks like maybe it's sounding like, I'm not sure yet, we're going to be at a difference from what the Planning Commission recommends and what City Council, how do we want to address that? Do you guys want us to look at this again, or?
No.
Thank you.
We'll have a vote on it, and we'll have more discussion on it ourselves, and it'll wind up one way or the other. And then we'll go on.
You will make your recommendations as a body to the council, and the council will then make the decision on what they want to do.
You all are having pretty much the same discussion we had. This was not a unanimous vote on this particular item. So with that in, I mean, it's more, I don't even want to really say that, but we had a lot of these same things, and after milling through it, going through it, we ended up going with what's more consistent throughout the state. So with that in mind, I would probably recommend we let you all decide what's best for commission. I don't think the commission is going to change their mind on this recommendation. Is that correct, commissioners?
You already made your recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is it.
I mean, we don't need to take it. We don't need to take this back and...
No.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, in fact, in the balance of this meeting, I guess I would probably... Well, I'd like to limit some of our discussion because we're going to be here for the rest of the meeting. So, 10 or 11.
What? Yeah.
We keep going through each of these. I want to thank the Planning Commission for the amount of time you spent. You guys already hashed a lot of this out.
Yep.
We went back
back and now hash the issues that we have.
So maybe I should be
more discussion on it.
Yeah.
And so you guys have had those discussions. And I think for the balance of tonight, if you'll read through these, unless I know there are a couple of them that there are some exceptions to, we'll discuss those. But some of these easy ones, let's just go over them. And the council wants to later discuss some of them.
So you want me to go through all of these then and just what we recommended?
Yep.
Okay. And we won't have any more discussion?
We're going to limit the discussion.
Okay.
Only the contentious ones.
So the next one, at least we're going to get through the contentious ones here pretty quickly. The next one is length of time for occupying an RV at an RV park. And again, we reviewed 16 Eastern Washington cities, some of which had time limits, a lot of which didn't. And we kind of thought about what would be the best way to manage this. It was tough to find a written way that made sense for RV parks in Othello and time periods and compared to other ones. So after the discussion, the commission decided to recommend addressing the problem. The concern is long-term stay and it becoming a more permanent resident. Instead of relying solely on a time limit, which was very difficult to enforce, very difficult to predict how long somebody from a construction crew is going to be in Othello working on a project with their RV. The recommendations And very difficult to enforce. So the recommendation that we made included prohibiting accessory structures such as patios, decks, and adding an intent statement that the RV park is not for permanent occupancy. The commission also recommended an ordinance to revert the requiring a conditional use permit rather than an outright permitted use within commercial zones. So what we did is we removed the items that would make that you would build around an RV to make it permanent. You know, you have to have wheels. You can't cover that up. You can't build a permanent deck. You can't build a permanent shed with your RV. These were the things that we prevented, that we're recommending be removed from that. That, like I said, it goes through conditional use so that annual review and make sure that the RV parks are doing what we intend them to do and not become permanent dwellings. Any question on that? Okay. The next item was a recommendation from the city attorney about a hearing examiner. After discussion, the Planning Commission recommended deleting this whole section about a hearing examiner.
Where is that at?
I got it. So that's superseded by the new chapters that were written that have a section that talks about uses. So
there's a bunch of stuff we were recommending deleting from, as you will see. I figured these wouldn't be overly contentious about this. The next item is duties of the commission. This is also an area we are recommending deleting the existing section, as it'll fit better into Chapter 1705, interpretation, purpose, and applicability. Okay. The next one is proposed 17.20.010 as purpose but the city attorney also felt there was no mention of purpose in the proposed text of 17.20.10. He stated that the purpose statement is important because per proposed 17.20.30C, when the administrator is determining whether a use should be allowed, he is to refer to the purpose statement. The commission recommends adding the following to that. The purpose of this chapter is to provide for the specific characteristics of residential development that may take place in Othello. A consistent and compatible land use pattern, residential housing needs of the Othello residents, and the public safety needs of Othello residents. That's our recommendation to be the new purpose. I figured there would be a lot of debate about that one. Huh? We just...
He said there should be a purpose, so then
we... That was our purpose we came up with. Open sales lots. An issue that came up during the review of new codes is how to address open sales lots and whether display-only sales at a different location should be allowed. Staff reviewed other Washington codes and could not find any cities that allowed a commercial business without a building. The commission recommended adding clarifying statements to the proposed 1730 commercial zones. And you can see the updated recommendations in 1730-30, table 1. Open sales lot in conjunction with the principal use, which must be in an enclosed adjoining building. And in 1730-90, development standards. All uses must be associated with the principal use, which must be in an enclosed adjoining building.
Okay, so I have a question about this, and I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time or if this would be under old business, but I'm going to bring it up now anyway.
Go for it.
Does this have to do with the property down there that Oscar wants to put the sheds on? So where is this going with that?
Can I say something before you say that?
Go for it.
I think where they're going with that is you have a comparable. So we're comparing our great city to the rest of the state, to Warden or to Tri-Cities. I think it's wrong. That's just my opinion. This is our own unique city. We have our own unique codes and laws, and so you're comparing Tri-Cities to us? Are you kidding me? Or are you comparing us to Berlin? That's why you guys are so great, that you guys can recommend something to the council, best council we ever had, can say, hey, let's take a look at this individually. This is saying, Tri-Cities doesn't do it, let's not do it. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. It does to me.
So I think I'd like to add a little bit to what Oscar has mentioned, and this is what we really ran into a big problem with. We could see some areas where we were concerned. Where what Oscar is suggesting, I don't think a lot of us conceptually had a big problem with it. What we're concerned about is what else could come in. Could somebody put in a car lot where you don't really have a car lot? You can call this number and buy this car. And that would be problematic.
So,
But to that end, we really didn't find any examples that were in other cities that allowed this or didn't allow this. And that's what we really need. We need some examples.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you my thoughts on it.
Sure.
I think he's right, what he said about this is our city. I agree with that. And every time somebody comes up and says, well, this city's doing this and this city's doing this, the first thought that goes through my head is, I don't care, we're Othello. We aren't Moses Lake, we're not Warden. But this, the what ifs that you're talking about, what if this could happen down the road or this could happen down the road? Well, that falls right in line with this zoning.
Right.
You know, it falls right in line with wanting to change some of these that I am adamantly against, but we'll discuss that at another time. And I don't like that. You know, you can't apply it to one situation but you're going to apply it to this situation. The situation is right down there. We have a vacant lot down there that's full of weeds. We got somebody that says he's willing to do anything to use that property. He's going to gravel it. He said he'd be willing to put in sidewalks down there. You know, you're making that area look 100 times better than what it is now. So you've got that, or you want to leave it a vacant lot there full of weeds?
See, and I see just the opposite. I think what Oscar wants to do is great. I have no problem with that. But once you open that can of worms,
somebody else to come along and do something else that we don't like. And then we can't say no because we've already opened that can of worms.
Sure we can.
How would you do it?
Not as it's in the ordinance.
Yes. Well, you know.
Not as it's in the ordinance.
Yes, there is. There's a legal way around an ordinance, and that's to come to the council asking for a variance. How many variances have we granted?
Not for uses. You can't grant a variance for the use.
Yeah.
You could grant the overhead hours thing. That's something you do. But you can't, someone can't say, this isn't allowed in the zoning, but I want to do it, and the council can approve it. That's not in your powers.
Then how are we changing the zoning areas? We've had people come in and we've changed. I don't understand how there's a difference there.
You change the code, but then it applies to everybody.
Corey, I'm going to make it real simple, and this was made simple to me. This is not a commercial activity happening on a commercial lot, right? I mean, it isn't. Because if it's a commercial activity, then it's got some standards it has to meet, right? Okay. And that would be the building. So what it kind of is a 3D billboard. Our problem is, and we just didn't.
Billboards are not allowed.
But I mean, it's something different. That it's something being advertised to get you to go buy something somewhere else.
So I just have an issue with an opportunity to get that piece of land taken care of, rather than we're just going to let it sit there vacant, growing weeds. You know, I have an issue with that when we have an opportunity to get something done with it.
So what our challenge?
100 times better than what's there now.
So what our challenge was trying to find some other places that have done it. The problem is there are some pretty obvious concerns that we want to be.
You're talking about used cars. Drive down to Walmart, you know?
Well, that actually was one of the ones I brought up, you know, is unfortunately.
It happens all over town.
That's what you're opening it up to the next business to come in and do the same thing. Now, what Oscar's wanting, that's fine. We as a planning commission, we decided what we thought was best. If you don't like it, you as a city council can take and turn it around.
Yeah, so I made a recommendation.
We made a recommendation.
What your recommendation is, we'll either approve it or not approve it.
Yep. And I do want to say there was, again, this is an area we had a lot of debate and a lot of discussion on, and ultimately we couldn't find something done somewhere else that managed the situation without letting it get out of control. And that's what we're looking for, you know, and Oscar and I have talked, you know, it's like, I know you want to do this, find this for me, because we want to do it too. We just couldn't find a way that made it make sense.
Did you find a place where you said you didn't find a place that could manage it under control?
We didn't find a single one.
Did you see it go south in places?
Well, since we didn't see where it was allowed, we didn't get to see any of it. So that's a great question, you know. And when we looked at these things, when we got into these difficult questions, that's what we looked at. What's been done in other places? Can we learn a lesson? You know, how can we make this work? We could see potential problems that you didn't want. We want to control that. We want to manage that situation. But we still want to create that opportunity. And that's what we looked for, but we couldn't find it. So we're...
Well, I agree with Corey. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a chance of improvement.
So, Roger, with the, you said a mobile home coming in and setting up like 3 spec homes for... What would be, like, I guess help me understand what would be so terribly wrong with that? That it's not keeping the business here?
For one, mobile home sales aren't allowed in any of the zones for a commercial activity in Othello. So that would be a problem with that.
So
we could even come in and put his hay there and say, hey, I'll display my hay, so we can get some sales.
we could put some governance on that, but with the new state law with sales tax.
That was another issue that kind of came up.
You know, where the product is purchased, you reap the benefits. What's that?
Which brings it back to that it's not a commercial activity happening in a commercial zone.
If it's sitting in Othello as a display model, and somebody comes up and buys it, you'll get the profits from it.
No, you won't. No, it'll be off. It'll be off site. Yeah.
Doesn't the sales tax go to the final destination of it? That's why we lost all that tractor sales tax.
Because the taxes is like 2% cheaper than ever, and 2% on a $160,000 bus.
Okay. All right. Move on, Chris.
Thank you. Okay, vehicle sales lots. To clarify, the commission recommends the existing standards in 176160 that are related to off-street parking for vehicle sales lots being referred in proposed OMC 1730-30, and you can see the tables there for where that's allowed. Okay, the commission recommends that a section be added to existing 1787 zoning amendments to clarify the process for site-specific rezones. This would collect all of the rezone information into one chapter, and the area-wide rezones are legislative actions and are reviewed by the Planning Commission as proposed in previously proposed 1787-20. Site-specific rezones are quasi-judicial and reviewed by the hearing examiner, although unlike other quasi-judicial actions, such as conditional use permits, state law requires final approval of the rezone by city council. The process is specified in the new draft 1787-30. Okay, general admission and enforcement. It was determined this chapter should be retained since not all enforcement goes through OMC 120. Therefore, staff, planning, and code enforcement modified this chapter to reassign the enforcement provisions to the code enforcement officer instead of the city planner. This chapter was sent to the city attorney's office for review by the attorney who works with the enforcement, and the proposed amendments to that are existing on 1792. The final issue that we had in this section was OMC 1713-10 should not have been struck out of text in the residential medical district. This was an error in the 6-17-19 recommendations document, and residential medical districts are being retained. Okay, zoning maps. This is probably where things are going to get a little more interesting again. At the July 22nd study session, the question was asked, does zoning affect assessed values? Staff contacted Ron Brown, appraiser for the Adams County, and Mr. Brown explained that the concept of highest and best use, which includes evaluating what is legally permissible at the site, is what is and what is financially feasible, is what has led to the best return on investment and highest sale price. A vacant lot would be appraised mostly based on the zoning. But a site that already has a structure is much different. For an existing developed lot, most of the value is in the structure, with only a small portion of that of the land impacting this. He pointed out that no one would tear down a $120,000 house to build a different structure on a $30,000 lot. It is only if the structure becomes so dilapidated that the value of the parcel is mostly in the land. So even if a house is a multifamily zone, the highest and best use is the existing single family dwelling, assuming the house is in good condition. He said that as long as a building has substantial value, the highest and best use is the existing building. Then that's standard.
Okay.
Questions?
Not questions, statements. First of all, I think the having Mr. Brown come in is a totally off the wall. I don't understand why you had Mr. Brown come in when you have Brian here.
About assessed value.
I understand that, but county assessed values is completely 100% different than
appraised.
The appraised values.
Well, the question was this. I understood the question of the assessed values. That's why I asked him the question.
Okay, so first of all, there's not a $120,000 house in this city. Unless I'm wrong. But no, I understand that. But there is, the statements have already been made that there's a contractor
who wants down on Fourth.
What's that?
He knocked one down on Fourth.
Well, it's already gone now, see?
Yeah.
But the statement's already been made that there's a contractor who wants to come in, buy up sets of houses, tear them down, and build apartments. That statement was made by a planning commission member. The other part I got to say this is some of these sections that want to be changed to R3s, statements have been made by planning commission members that these areas are so dilapidated and worn down. That was a statement you made to me.
I did not say so. I said that you have to be realistic that there are areas in this town that are aging. And there are areas that are going to change over time. And these are the areas that we identified. And I made that statement not so dilapidated. If they're so dilapidated, they'd be being bought up right now. That's not the case.
Okay,
but they are aging.
So you told me that the areas are dilapidated and worn down. Regardless of
no, I said over time they become dilapidated.
I don't want to argue about it. I don't.
If they were dilapidated, then people would buy them up and make that done.
I don't want
to. I'd like you to finalize your point.
So, regardless of the point, county assessment is different than the assessments that Brian would be interested in. He's already made the statement. He already said at the last meeting we had here, if you put an apartment next to a house, it lowers the value of that house. I mean, just period.
It really does come down to highest and best use. I've seen raw land so much.
But if I've got a house and somebody builds an apartment next door to my house, is that going to lower the sales value of my house?
It does. So did I lower the value of mortgage house? No, the apartment was paid.
That's a completely different situation. It's a completely different situation. What was there was already condemned by the city.
And that's when apartments
it had been condemned several times.
That's when apartments will go in. When the building gets condemned, then
So anyway, those are the points I wanted to make. It's a different situation, the county and cells. You know, and there's some other issues in here, but when we discuss this in the council meeting, I'll bring those points up. I don't need to be bringing them up here.
You're just making
right.
Well, he's worried about the changing of the zoning. So he's right now, he's in a residential area, maybe an R3. But if you make it an R4.
Mm-mm. It's R2 to R3.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read all the information, but what he's saying is all of a sudden somebody could buy up the houses next to him and throw up a fourplex, mm-hmm. a sixplex. Then he's going to worry about the noise. It'll worry about the traffic, you know, whatever. You know, that's all he's saying.
Which is, I think, part of the
brought the point between assessed value versus a piece of the property with a building on it.
I got his point.
Yeah.
I got Chris's point. We
good.
Can move on.
I guess I did. I get to make my point. So that was after Corey, right? I guess my point is we have to do some zoning. We have to plan for the future. We got to do it somewhere. And I explained the what's and the why's.
Zoning should be changed. I strongly believe against changing any of these R2s to R3s. The zoning that I would be good with changing would be undeveloped land. That's the only land.
How much of that do we have?
Exactly. I understand that.
Good.
But I understand that. But you can't take people that's been invested in this community for years and years and years and change the game on them.
But it's not going to change on them.
It is going to change.
It only changes on them if the value of that house has dropped significantly.
The crime rate down there. When you compact more people into a small area, your crime rates go up, your property values go down, look at the parking. Drive down any street in town. And I understand you're saying you've got to have two spots for each apartment. Go drive down to the end of Rose and look at those apartments down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to increase parking on the streets, which are already crowded and you can't get through. You're going to lower property values. You're going to raise crime rates. You know, you take undeveloped land and you want to build apartments there, fine, more power to you.
But where is that land at?
There's
where is the valuable? Because we'd love to find it. We reviewed it.
Tell me that somebody coming in and putting a couple fourplexes around town, the advantages of that are going to outweigh the disadvantages of what you're doing to the neighbors that's living in that community already.
Corey, I think you missed my point initially when I said I don't expect anything to change for the next 10 years.
Well,
in those places.
You know what?
I don't expect anything to change for 15 years, but it might change after that.
Supposedly, there's contractors that want to come in now, tear down houses, and build apartments.
He is not.
You were standing there when he made the comment.
Roger is not going to tear down a $120,000 house and turn down.
The numbers work out. If you run the numbers, they work out.
They don't work out.
They do.
They don't even come close.
They do.
You got to build the place.
I understand that.
I live in an R4. All right. Retain existing. Yep. Well, and it is, just keep in mind what we were tasked with, and what we're tasked with was trying to address housing in Othello, which is a problem, with what we have available and what we have to do. I mean, we get to do it from the 10,000 foot level. You guys have to do it a little different level. We understand that. But please try to understand where we're coming from with that 10,000 foot level. You may not agree with it, and I totally understand not going with it, but that's why. It's got to be somewhere, and I hope in the future we have a plan to address that. Anyway, retaining existing R2 zone. Did we already cover that?
No.
Okay, retaining existing R2 zone, lot depth north of Olympia. The Planning Commission originally recommended this, but unfortunately it wasn't captured correctly on the map in 1617, so we changed that. No, those houses are already there. Is that? Oh, yes, west of 7th, north of Olympia. So So the opposite, so you have where Olympia ends, and then there's something on the other side. We're making that strip just R2. Just that strip. The strip next to that, the strip.
And that's exactly the way it should be set. That's exactly perfectly the way it should be set up.
I agree.
You know, those people up there on Olympia are R2s right now.
Yeah. Right.
R2 across the street from them, and behind that it goes to R3 or R4. That's the way it should be done.
Yep.
Not changing what's
because we had available land there.
Right. Yeah. And that's
so where was
like
the
I said. That's the way it should be done. Not.
I'd love to do it there everywhere, Corey. That's the problem. Is I wish we could. I wish we could address that. And anyway.
Yeah. Well.
Planning. Retain. So Sean, does that make sense at all?
Say that again.
So that strip across the street from Olympia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's the high school.
Retaining the existing R2 zone west of 4th Avenue to Fur to North Olympia, the planning commission agreed that this change was a logical change. Zoning along Lee Road. At the 7/20/19 study session, it was discussed that the property along the Lee Road is prime for industrial development, and due to existing utilities, including substantial gas and electrical facilities, as well as its location on a truck route. The commission discussed this issue and agreed, and therefore the commission designation of light industrial south of Lee and heavy industrial north of Lee should be retained. Terragold Farms. The commission discussed on 7/19/19 a request from Terragold Farms for a zoning change in parcel 15290306802 19. This is next to Coventry House. We had zoned that to become R3. They had requested it to be R4 for future developments and to keep along Broadway a commercial strip. The concern brought up is it's awfully close to the ammonia plant, but upon reviewing, if there was an ammonia leak, not only would that area be affected, but three quarters of Othello would be affected as well. So we didn't see that being a different situation from a safety standpoint to allow that to be residential than it would be for three quarters of the rest of Othello.
So I do have a question on that. I think I'd like to have at least Gary take a look at that, and I'd like to hear his opinion on it.
Have
300 feet doesn't sound like a lot, but that is some to get some of that dissipated if there was ever an accident there.
For
the 300 foot, where it says down here, the police chief's concerned about expanding residential, and you guys. Yeah, I don't know, however you worded it, but I'd like to hear Gary's recommendation on that, the fire chief.
Okay. Finally, vacant residential land. There's no question that housing is in short supply in Othello. One of the reasons the Planning Commission is recommending the changes in residential zoning in some area was to provide future opportunities to create additional dwelling units. The existing supply of vacant residential land in city limits is dwindling quickly, and you can see that on the map. This is the challenge that we're up against, and we've spent a lot of time talking about housing needs and how to address those, and this is the plan we came up with. We realize that in some areas it may not be popular, and again, it's easy for us to view things from the 10,000 foot. Somebody's got to make the suggestion. The rubber meets the road with the council, and we understand what you all have to do to address that. I don't know how we're going to increase available land without utilities in place in most of these places, without irrigation being in the way of it and some of the other problems, and that's a problem we saw, and why we engaged the way we engaged. Tough question, tough answers suck. And we had to make a few.
So again, I want to thank the Planning Commission. Excellent work. This is really excellent work. And do you want to add anything to that?
I guess just a reminder that this has been the Planning Commission's work for the last 2+ years, and so they've been really dedicated and really appreciate
it about the last year.
The next
is that this?
Step would be
lines off the paper.
Satisfied with the answers they've gotten? Are you ready to move on to the public hearing?
Yeah.
To move this forward.
Get out of paper, so it kind of.
Okay, so
I'm gonna have to ask them.
That was
proposed
R3
from R2. Right.
I think
corner or not.
The Planning Commission resolved a large share of the issues here. There's still probably three or four issues that the city council
I agree.
Than the planning commission. So those are issues that I guess I'm going to ask the council, do you want to follow a process where we set the public hearing and we go through and have those discussions within the public hearing and then either decide on the whole zoning issue and vote on it that night, or it's also at the discretion of the council that you can also table it, but you still want more discussion or more investigation by staff, make the decision at a later time, or would you prefer a process where we discuss the three or four issues alone and come to some kind of a consensus or conclusion on those issues and then have a public hearing? So it's either we're going to hack all this out within a public hearing, or we're going to hack it out outside a public hearing and then have a public hearing.
I think it'd be better to get on board before a public hearing and hash out all of our own opinions.
So talk about it, about the issues, because I know that there were a number of 40 have some. I think we all
have some.
Weighed in on a number of these issues. So
I agree with Maria. From advice, I don't know if you want to call it advice. This is a 30-year, 30, 40, 50, 50 or 60-year even before, could be before none of us are still here, decision that's being made. This is, I don't want to jump into this. I'd like to have plenty of time to discuss this in meetings.
When was the last time they had done rezoning?
What's that?
When was the last time they did rezoning, you know, in the city of Othello?
1910.
I think it was something
pretty accurate.
In 95.
There were big changes to the zoning code in Edgewood, right?
1995. So here we are in 2019, and we're looking to our future. And I think Corey's right, and so is Maria, that we should, you know, in order to do this right, so that everybody feels good about it, we should have further discussion before we do the public hearing, and then we can hear from the public. And we need to advertise the heck out of it, Facebook and everything else, because it's going to affect a lot of people. I think we have one of the, I think we got one of the best planning commissions assembled today that we have ever had in the history of this city. They are engaged. They are concerned about what they're doing. And I'm just very excited to have that group of people working on behalf of us. I am very much. You guys, kudos. Right, wrong, or indifferent, whether it agrees with me, you guys are stepping up and putting it together.
Yeah.
That's the fun part, Brian.
Yeah, you don't know all of the fighting. That it's funny because the arguments you all are having, we've had already.
I know. I've been there.
You've been there. Oh, you don't even want to know what's coming next.
Oh, man.
Two more years.
Two more years. What else was it,
Anne? I said 2 more years.
Besides subdivisions, what else were we looking at?
That's a big one. I feel that
was. Well, we do have to bring back accessory dwelling units.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Look forward to that.
So
not as much as we do, I bet.
In some ways, I think that issue has been so discussed that I think the council just needs to make a decision. I don't think you can go past the funding commission with that all over again.
They do have a new recommendation to present to the council. We did it once to you.
That would be
muddle up this current discussion.
Right.
Throwing more things at the council.
And I do want to bring up one other, you know, we didn't talk too much. We're changing commercial districts pretty extensively in Othello. We've been two commercial districts, and now we're suggesting three, and we really didn't have much discussion about that. Now, I'd like to think it's because it's brilliant planning, and...
Actually, I want to apologize because I have two questions, and one of them involves a commercial.
I was waiting for somebody maybe to start talking about, because it's a pretty extensive change.
So on page, on your book there, page 9 of 39, which is the C1 zone,
yes.
Which involves no on-site parking for businesses. I just have a comment about that. And this is after talking to people in the public, and Bob Carlson's one of them. We don't understand, neither he or I understand, why we would want a business without required parking. If you drive down Main Street where those businesses are, or behind like where Brian's business is, it's horrible down there. You know, and what's going to happen when more businesses get being built down there and their customers are parking in other businesses' parking lots, you know? So that was just, I just kind of wanted to hear something on that. I just have issues of having a business here with no parking. You know, one of the other things that we're looking at too is that's more for the city to take care of, that all the citizens of the city to take care of, their parking, snow removal, everything else, rather than businesses taking care of their own issues. Right now, we do have issues with businesses down on the corner of First and Main. We're providing a parking lot for them down there that the city's maintaining. The city's covering all their expenses for that. And I just feel that that is just not right, and I feel it's wrong. So now we're going to create a whole zone down there that's going to allow that to go on.
Right.
And I don't know if anything needs to be discussed about it. That's something that we can discuss in our meetings. But if you...
Do you all want an explanation on that? Because I've been... Okay.
Not right now.
Okay.
We'll get to that when we...
Why not? We're here. Go ahead.
Okay. So let's just take a building down. So say he wants to remodel the building or do something with it. Okay. If you don't have that in there, then first thing that's gonna happen is he's gonna have to cut it in parking. So he's gonna have to take his building and move it way back in between these other buildings and have a parking lot put in there. And then put his building off the rear. So he wants to get rid of that out there.
Okay.
I mean, you got an existing whole town that way.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
So when this came up, we looked at, again, we went through, we went through a process, and one of those processes was, what did other cities do? And we, again, went with the 85%. What is obvious to us is the C1 zone is our historical retail area, very similar to what Moses Lake has in their historical retail area, very similar to what Kennewick has in their historical retail area, very similar to a lot of cities in their historical retail area. And this is what they do with those historical retail areas. Instead of forcing them to follow under what is going to be under C2 or C3, they're made into their own unique type, where unique commerce takes place. You're not going to build a Walmart in C1. Well, you can't. But the type of commerce that happens in those historical districts consistently tend to be the same type of places. That may change in the future if, you know, somebody builds a 10-story apartment complex in the middle of that.
Yeah, but the city of Bellingham has on-street parking that they provide to their, you know, the city does. Mm-hmm. But they also collect a fee for it. So we could pop in
little could do that.
Registers along there for and build parking spots, and everybody that wants to park on the street can pay for it.
So anyway, the other question I had was on page 54.
Well, that's what they do. You know, you're going to provide parking for businesses.
That entire section is striped out.
Because that's in a different title. There's a title, I think it's 19, that has all of the information about how you hearings and how you process permits. That's something that was added long after this section was written.
Okay, but it has the same requirements to it, that the other section.
It doesn't require three notices. It requires one on site. I don't remember the distance for when you mail a property. I don't think it's more than 300 feet. And it also requires, yeah, publication of paper. So it's not identical, but very similar.
Okay. But it's just the notification.
Mm-hmm.
That was the...
Yes.
And as far as zoning changes, that requires anybody within three to 500 feet of a zoning change to be mailed, actually be mailed notification, right?
If it's a site-specific rezone.
So if we rezone a whole section in there, nobody even has to be notified?
So it's not required. That can be something that the council directs, that we do notify everybody, which you may want to do.
Okay.
But that's very typical, that a legislative action that's citywide, it's not required that you mail notification.
Is it? A rezone is a little bit different than a regular. It's a little more personal towards when it involves people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was the only question that I had.
Okay.
Thank you. Planning Commission. So what I think I'm going to do is then just quickly move on through the balance of the unfinished new business, and reports the council is going to receive. So then we. So, unfinished business, I'll start. The question was asked about front door of City Hall because of the condition. And given its condition, I've turned it over to Public Works Department and it's on their to-do list. Clean that up. Is there any other unfinished business that's coming forward to council tonight?
You need this one? I turned it off, though.
Okay, so go without one. We have a...
I think it's back in your list.
Okay, so then, is there any new business tonight?
I don't know if it goes new business or not. I've had people approach me, a few people, of the not being able to use Lions Park for soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I haven't had an answer to give, so I just wanted to see if you have something for me to respond. Yes.
I do.
Okay.
Basically, in the past, the current practice of the city is that if you're just mom and pop and you want to go down and throw a baseball to your kid, mom shagging flies, you can use the city park. That's fine, at no charge. But if you have an organized club team and you're going to use the fields, then you need to pay $10 for an hour's use of the fields. And apparently the individual who had some heartburn today about the issue, didn't want to pay anything. And as we investigated, we found out that certain people got certain favors and were never charged in the past. And so now we're just enforcing the policy. And so they didn't like it. So that's kind of the name of that.
They still can use it. Because
yeah.
I was told...
And now, okay, there was this other issue, yes, of course, I'm glad you brought that up, and that was with the youth athletic field grant that we were going to receive. Originally, the original schedule was that we were going to be doing the construction on the fields where we were taking out the dirt and replacing it and putting in the drain lines and all that. Remember the youth athletic grant that we got?
The deadline of that has been pushed out now, and it's likely that we're not going to do that actual work until next spring. And so we are now going to open up the fields again for people to be able to use it. But that decision was just made today and this afternoon because we had to confirm with the landscape architect that they weren't going to be able to meet the deadline to get it done.
Okay. Is the grant still good next year?
Grant's still good. We have until, I think, next September. But we'll likely be done. Well, we'll hope, just depending on the weather, we're hopeful to be done by 1st of April. But if the weather is like we had last winter, it could take longer. But that's the story on the parks and
Thank
the use
you.
Of the parks. Okay. Any other new business? Okay. We'll move to item 7, which is council will receive the report. I guess that didn't make it. So I got that'll appear on a council meeting on the 23rd. So having no further business to come before the council, we will adjourn at 8:23 p.m. Thank you.